Who's here for the first time? How many read DOS, the book DOS by Betty Skinner? Read it all the way through, every word in it. If you haven't read every word, start over. Every word in the book of DOS. How many have read some of it? All right, I just like to challenge you to read it all, word for word. And I said it once, and I thought, I hadn't read every word in that. So I went home and stayed up. I read it all night. And some of it is tough. Some of it isn't factual. I'm known as the little old lady from Pasadena. And we lived in South Pass. And last New Year's Day, here we are sitting watching the Rose Parade in Pasadena. And here's the little old lady, if you saw it, from Pasadena in a little old car. And, of course, I'm known for my travels. And I live in a car. By that, I mean I travel a lot. And so I've had many, 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 many letters. And I have had 14 Western Union grams since New Year's Day. And they felt when I grew older, that's what I'd look like, is that little old lady in Pasadena. All this to tell you that I'm standing today on the promises of God. And I'd like to challenge you that if you are not believing all of the promises of God, I'm going to do something that years ago Dawson Trotman did. And he asked us in the next meeting we came to bring a blotter. If possible, the length of a page in your Bible, and to bring a razor blade. And we did. None of us knew what we were bringing it for. And Dawson had us start from Genesis and to cut out every promise of God that we knew. And then any promise of, and we were to bring the oldest Bible we had. We sat and cut our Bibles up. Then we asked each other for a promise. And if we hadn't cut that out, we were to cut that out. And Dawson's up here cutting out a very old Bible, cutting right along with us. And when he finished, he held up his Bible and said, "Now what do you have? Since you cut out all the promises of God. You don't have a God. You don't have His Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have His Holy Spirit. You do not have any help at all. No promise when you're tempted." And when he got through, if the Word of God wasn't precious to us before, it certainly was then. Here we were with a Bible that was holy. We'd cut it up. And I'm going to share with you perhaps one of the promises of God that's meant perhaps more to me than some, and they all are very, very precious to me and have grown more so as I've walked alone 31 years without DOS. Isaiah 43:1 says, and I want us to make it personal. I want you to put your own name in there and whatever it is. "But now thus saith the Lord Lila unto you, who redeemed you, who formed you, who redeemed you." Sound familiar? "Who created you, who called you by your name." Listen. This is the great God that can do anything. He made the world out of nothing. Nothing. And he's saying to us today, in the very heart of this promise of God, he says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." And every one of us in this room today have some kind of a fear. Fear of being late. Fear of walking in and not being known. Have you ever sat at a signal and somebody's toots at you or at a railroad crossing. And it used to be that way. We don't see many railroad crossings anymore where a train is going by. But out of fear, because someone tooted at them to get going, they're not here. They didn't live very long because they were hit by the train. We're fearful that our house isn't just right. We're fearful about our clothes. We're full of fears. We're fearful of getting behind a wheel and going to someplace unknown. I know. But Lila, listen. God says to you today, I formed you. I made you. I redeemed you. Put your name there. Now, I was asked to share the Navigator history and some things from our personal lives. So I'll just start by telling you that Dawson Trotman led me to the Lord when I was 13 years old. He was 21. 2 months later, I was chosen. I won a contest in church, and I was chosen to take a Bible to the minister's son who had tuberculosis, and he was a long way away. And it was a long, long way then. But I've been there many times since the freeways are in California, and it isn't very far. But Dawson Trotman was chosen, or asked, to take me. And that's the day that Dawson says he fell in love with me, and he asked me to be his girl. Now, I'm just 14 now. I was led to the Lord 2 months before I was 14. Would you be interested to know how I answered him? Well, if you aren't, I won't tell you. Would you like to hear? I'd like to tell you. It's known around the world, by the way, because Dawson went around the world. And I've been around since. Well, if you're happy, I'm satisfied. That's the way I answered him. And if you think our children haven't left, our oldest is 53. Our next, that's Spruce, and Ruth is 51, and Burke is 49, and Faith is 46, and our son in glory would have been 44 last December. How many in this room have lived with us? Just Jeannie Boardman. She was Jeannie Keith. Why doesn't she tell about our lives? She's too willing. Don't let him in on secrets, okay? We don't have secrets. Dawson and I went together 5 years, and we were engaged 3 of those. When I told Dawson, when I went into the house, into our home, I didn't sleep. Dawson then just found out you weren't saved, gave you the plan of salvation, and was sure that you understood it. Well, I didn't understand it. But I went at 2 o'clock that morning. I said, God, I don't know what Mr. Trotman meant by the word faith. I don't think I know how to spell it. But he told me if I could, by faith, accept Jesus into my life. And I asked, I just didn't quite know what I was doing. I told the Lord. And when I told Dawson, or Mr. Trotman, what I had done, he gave me the book of Proverbs, chapter a day, a verse a day. I was to witness to a life a day. Here I'm 14. I was to pray an hour a day. And I went to my mother, and I said, Mommy, what does one pray for 1 hour? My mother was a Christian. My dad was a minister's son. See, you can be born in a garage, but it doesn't make you a motor car. And Grandpa, his dad, was a minister of he had 13 churches, and it was Shouting Methodist, and that was my background. Shouting Methodist. So I am a combination. I didn't know that our courtship was tough until years later. And really. And then Doss and I spent a good portion of time at times going through his diary of our courtship. That's the one, Jeannie, that's the one book of Dawson's diaries that Betty hasn't copied. Betty Skinner's, that's the way she got some of the information she got in the book. And Betty lived with us 8 years, too. And I love Betty, and Betty and I are real close, lest you think we aren't. And Betty knows exactly what I said to you just a while ago. And Burke was left out of this book, our son Burke, and it's the fifth account of our family that he's been left out of. And when I received the first copy from Lorne, I was at his home, and he stayed up all night reading it because he was very touched that in his home is a book of his dad's life. And the next time I saw him, because he drove an 18-wheeler and he worked nights, and this was his night off, he said to me, I was left out of Dad's book. We were sitting in the living room. I said, well, you were not. Your picture's in it, sweetheart, and your name's under that. And he said, but the births of the others are mentioned, and some in detail, and I'm not in it at all. And he threw my book. And I said, well, this isn't my home. But in my home, you will never, ever throw anything that belongs to me. And he we're very, very close, by the way. Well, he accepted the Lord on his 17th birthday in December before Doss left us in June, and Dawson spent the day with him. And I was in bed then, and I spent 13 months in bed in the Pink House with tuberculosis. And they went for breakfast, and so when they walked back in, I knew that he'd be saved. Well, they walked in, and they were two of the most dejected I'd seen in a long time. And I thought, oh, no. So Dawson gave him assignments and portions of the word to go up on the balcony over at the Pink House and read. And so he did. And then that's when the gang could come into my bedroom. And he sat on the windowsill over there and said, I gave Mom every gray hair she has. And gave his testimony. Well, when Dawson went home 6 months later, we felt that Burke was backslidden. And a good portion of the night that Dawson and I spent together in the car, I knowing that God was going to take him, and it proved to be later as I mulled over and went through our prayer time in the car, that was about halfway through Dawson's prayer, he took my face in his hands and he said, God is going to take me. And when I told Dawson that that God had spoken to me out of 2 Kings, the second chapter on Elisha and Elijah, and when one was going home, and he left them, put the mantle on the other one, that's the chapter that God spoke to me. And the 10th verse of that in part says, you know, Lord, you've asked a very hard thing of me. It wasn't in my plan. See, God has a plan for our life, every one of us in this room. And we don't want to miss it. And you may not know now. You may not know now what God's plan for your life is. You may not. And Dawson was 27. We married. He was 26. I was 18. And 8 months later, we were in San Diego, and Dawson was verbally introduced to Lester Spencer, who was in the San Pedro Harbor on the USS West Virginia. And 6 weeks after we were home, he was, every day he'd been up in the hills praying very early in the morning on his way to work. And his prayer sheets blew, the wind was blowing. And he saw Lester Spencer, USS West Virginia. So he sent a telegram out to him to meet Trotman on the dock at such and such a time. Look for light trousers and dark coat. But Dawson put Rittenhouse contact at the bottom of the Western Union, the telegram, and it was not on there. So he thought that this, perhaps they, he was going to take, this man would take his money, so he left all of his money on board ship, Lester did, and brought a quarter with him. And so he was looking all over. Everybody there had were sailors with white caps on, and he saw Doss. And he came up and he says, are you Trotman? And he said, yes, well, I'm Spencer. And why did you send me, you know, he said, why did you send me? He said, well, I'd like to invite you home for our chicken dinner and at my wife's in my home. And I was down with Mrs. Rittenhouse and her daughter, Helen. And Helen was in Bible Institute of Los Angeles when Dawson was a student there too. And they were very close friends. And he said, well, that changes it. There's so much happening nowadays. When we first started our work, the signs in Long Beach, and for a long time, it wasn't just at first, no dogs or sailors allowed. Or it would say, no dogs or sailors wanted here. This was store windows, parks. So it wasn't easy sailing when we first started. And Dawson took him up on Palo Verdes Hills in Lomita, California, and there's eight in my personal family, six children and mother and daddy, and that's where four of my brothers and their mates, all but one, and my mother and father are laid to rest, right where Dawson used to pray, and prayed 40 days straight with Walt Stanton, and asked God for big things for Lomita. And I lived with a man who was very enthusiastic, extremely curious. And if you think that you could put a package on his desk and say, don't open it till the 25th of March, which was his birthday, if you think he didn't rattle it to death, well, you're, and more likely opened it before he was supposed to. He was so curious. And I didn't have a bit. And Dawson wished I did have a little at least. So, and he wished I'd worried a little because we always thought he was going home by an airplane through a wreck. And they were several close calls. He was never in one, but there were close calls. And I remember calling me from the Philippines and saying that you're going to hear it on the news and I want you to get it from me first. But I'm all right. But we had a very narrow escape. I might worry today if he was flying. I'm not sure, especially on Continental. And maybe on Delta. You couldn't hire Lorne Sanney to get even look at a Continental anymore. He will not do it. He told my daughter, who is an express travel business agency, if it goes to $7 a flight, I will not be on it. Lorne Sanney. And just this week, this last week, six Continentals have had crazy close calls in Denver Airport. And my daughter, Faith, who works for Express Travel, and she hears it all the time from everybody else, but experienced a horrible trip home from California. And it's good she did, because now she knows. They're not kidding her. But she had a very hard, tough time getting home. And it's hairy to hear it, really, and scary. And when she finished telling me, I said, now you know the rest of the story. And she does. But Dawson and Lester parked by the side of the road, and the night watchman for the school came over and asked them what they were doing. Now, Dawson always said that he said, where's your bottle? Well, Lester Spencer has been here at both of our reunions, World War II reunions, and the first one was a small one, and we all cried much. It was a very emotional reunion. I hadn't seen Dick and Phyllis DeLong for 43 years. I hadn't seen the first five men. Well, Lester was in glory. Gurney Harris's Home of the Lord. But they, four of the founders, you know, who worked night and day with Dawson and I, and with Dawson, I should say they work with Dawson. I've often said, I being in the way, God led Dawson Trotman, but I'm glad I was in the way. Because I've learned much, and I did learn much. And these men are like brothers to me. And the whole room, in a whole room, with the exception of Don Rosenberger, no one had lost over an hour all those many years. And I had seen from 42 to 47 years. I had not seen some of those men. And here they'd faithfully gone on, and Don Rosenberger was 27 years out of the will of God and living in sin. And he's back with the Lord, lives in Boulder, and he had charge of this meeting. And they could hardly talk when they got up for crying. Big old Ed Goodrich, great big, a swimmer. And John Dedrick, a swimmer. And to see this man, Ed Goodrich, who is translating from the NIV into Concordance. There's three down in our bookstore right now, or they were there, his work. And I remember asking if I could see him, and we sat back here, and I said, Ed, how on earth do you start writing a concordance? I knew it was going to be profound, but I didn't know it was going to be this profound. He said, well, he's believe it or not, he's a teddy bear, he's soft-spoken. He says, well, Lila, you start with a word. I said, boy, you're a big help. Start with a word. Well, I guess you do. But anyway, our room was the room on our first and last. Where next one will be next August, a year from now. And they took up to Dawson's death, and then I think now the next one's going to be the beginning of Warren's ministry of 30 years. And but from that a meeting up on the hill with Dawson Trotman, Lester saw him lead this officer to Christ, and he asked if he'd talk, will you talk to me out of that book? And Dawson said, yes. So they went into the principal's office and sat down. And on the way down the hill, Lester said, you know, Dawson, I'd give my right arm if I could do what you did tonight. And Dawson says, oh, no, you wouldn't. And if you knew Dawson, he would just make you drool. And he had a way of making you drool for what you wanted because he wanted to be sure that you meant it because he didn't want to waste his time. And he said, oh, no, you wouldn't. Lester said, I said I would. And Dawson says, Lester, you wouldn't pay the price at all. You would not do it. He said I would. Like that. So they came back to our house. And they told the story of the guard up there dressed in police clothes and uniform. And so Dawson, they were at it all night. Dawson took him back to catch the boat back at 4:30 to start mess hall or mess whatever you call it for cooking at 5 o'clock, and he did it for 3 months, night and day, going to get him, spending the time in our home, our little bungalow, and back. That was the beginning, Dawson said, of the Navigators. So we're 54 years old last March. Last month Dawson and I would have been married, well, we were married 55 years ago the 3rd of July. And I'm going to talk to the girls, for the women for a minute, and you men just don't need to listen. But girls, do you want to know, Dawson and I were asked by a missionary couple to live in their home in North Long Beach, California. And they were missionaries to the Indians in Arizona. And what a home. It was lovely. And I was just absolutely a newlywed. We were. I mean, we were a newlywed. We're newly married. And Dawson came in to the kitchen and adjusted the fire under a pot that I was cooking. And it's grievous to me, and if I can do this without tears, I hope. But I said to Dawson, I looked up at him and I said, who's going to be doing the cooking, you or me? Why didn't I thank him? Why didn't I say, you know, you're so dear. Thank you so much. It won't be down, up anymore, you know. Turn down. So Dawson said, did that bother you? And I said, it bothered me. Only I didn't speak out like I did now. Here's the way I said it. Yes, it bothered me. You know what he did for 6 weeks? He came through the kitchen when he left for work or in the evening after he got home, and he adjusted every pot on the stove. Do you think it ever needed it after that first encounter? Never. Never. Well, the Lord did a work in my heart through that, I'll tell you. I think our first year was the hardest. Well, it was the hardest. We never fought. Never. We didn't agree on things, but we never fought. If we did, we battled it on our knees with the Word of God open before us. The children can only think of twice hearing Dad and I having words. And I say it's twice too many. And yet, it's good that the children saw we were perfectly normal. And I think, dear hearts, how many married? All of you? Most all of you. Those men I met this morning maybe aren't. How many are married? Way up. Come on. Oh, I'm at home. How often, don't answer, but how often do you and your husband take your vows, retake them alone with God on your knees or in your car or at a park or in the mountains, or that you review just verbally sitting at a meal? Your wedding vows, you know, they're very, very sacred, and it's till death do you part. There's a couple right here in Colorado Springs, fully dedicated to the living God. And they've had problems, and their grandparents many times over. But she says, somebody asked her if she'd ever thought of divorce. She says, no, we took a vow, and it was till death do us part. And I'm not, we're just real happy. So there's nothing going to happen in between my husband and I ever. And we'll never be parted until death parts us. I loved it. But you know, as I've studied couples, and I have, and I do, it's an endurance contest with some. Who's going to die first? Well, you think about it. Start watching yourself. And, you know, it's your privilege to watch my life. It's my privilege to watch yours. I'm either real or I'm not. Well, 8 months after we were married, we started with Lester Spencer on the West Virginia. And we were on that ship for a very long time, just the one ship. And our home was filled. And the only help I had was from Lester and, Dawson, but from Lester and Gurney Harris. And 18 months after we married, Bruce was born. And it's interesting, as Dawson and I looked back on our children, every one of them were an answer to prayer, and also in the timing of their birth, to reach men. And turn to 43, because I want to share with you some promises that God gave to Dawson. And Dawson has at the top of Isaiah 43, I'm going to read to you what he has written. Now, this was a Bible that Dawson said he gave me in 1951, but all through it, it is really marked. And this is Isaiah 43, and these are lines that are going to different verses. And Dawson says this, and he had seven working Bibles. when he died, and seven had been lost just before that. Chapter 43 has been given to me repeatedly back 7 or 8 years ago in various and sundry ways, was brought most forcibly to mind. The verses marked are especially given. And so he has these lines down, and he has an on two. And two reads, "When you pass through the waters," now this is the precious couple, a precious couple. They had a 13-year-old son over in the Gunnison area, and he drowned. No one knows how, because when everybody left, he wanted to stay. And he was found 1/2 hour down the stream, his body was. And it was interesting to see them when they got the word. And then interesting, of course there were tears, it was such a shock. But it was interesting to hear them. And at the banquet the next night, they were going to be the first ones up on their feet, they said, before they even knew about their son. Do you know, men, that today is maybe the last day that you'll see your wife? It might. And girls, the same thing. Might be the last day you are privileged to be with your beloved today. Are you ready? "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the flood," the rivers, it says, "they shall not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned." Have you ever felt like you are in a fire billowing up around you? Your heart's broken and there's no way to mend it. In God's plan for my life and Dawson Trotman's life, we were to have 5 children. And he gave to us Charles Earl Trotman. We named him and we called him Chucky Boy. And when he was 6 weeks old, Dawson was in the Hawaiian Islands. And So when he was 6 weeks old, he choked at home, and we couldn't seem to bring him fully out of it. So I called the doctor and took him over to Hollywood. And he sent me across the street to a radiologist. And to make a very long story short, when he was 10 months old, Dawson was in Mexico City, by the way. When I got he was 10 months old, and before Dawson left, he told our baby's doctor, that he could take him to Children's Hospital just any time that he was ready. Well, I knew he wouldn't take him while Dawson was gone. I knew that, and he knew Dawson was leaving, and Dawson left Friday, and so Monday he called me, the doctor did, and Grace Wallace and I, who was a nurse living with us, took him over to Children's Hospital. When we went back for the verdict, Grace went with me. And he met us in the, to show you how God can take care of your heart. Boy, I tell you, all of a sudden, billows, waves of water just absolutely felt like it was going to be consumed. But he said, he just pulled a chair up and says, "Be seated." He's a little man, and he proved to be a Christian. But he said, "Mrs. Trotman, the injury to your son is permanent. He'll never be any better than he is right this moment. Now, there's a couple right up here on the 8th floor, and they have a child similar to yours, but older, and they will not admit that there's anything wrong with their child. So they're horrible. In horrible condition. They've tried everything. They've taken a plane and dived, and go ahead and do it if you want. Just take your..." I just was so consumed, I just thought, oh my goodness, I can't even remember all this. So I said, Doctor, just a moment. Let's slow down just a little bit. Is it permanent? He said, yes. See, our baby's brain didn't develop. He's like a beautiful car without a motor, without an engine. And he had just enough brain to smile, but never ever knew what he was smiling at. And that child is part of God's plan for our lives, just like he was. And we took care of him 8 years and 2 months. And if you had asked me, 45 years ago, do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, Lila? I would have said, I think so. It took the child to show me. Here's the way you and I hear the fruit of the Spirit quoted, just like you and I hear oft times John 3:16 quoted, for God so loved the world he gave his own. And if we didn't know it, we wouldn't know what they're saying. And it's that way with us. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, short suffering. Is that what it says? What's it say? And listen, I'm 73 years young. And take it from me, it's long suffering. Long. But you know, he made you. He formed you. He redeemed you. He called you by your name. And the last 4 words say, thou art mine. You're mine. I know you. I call you by name. Can you believe this? Of course we can. This is God. But be sure we let him be God. Well, I called Grace. We got outside and Grace said, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I'd like to go down to the office and get the gang and tell them. And then we have prayer together and then ask them not to try to call Doss or write him until I talk with him. We did. Now, our gang then, I think, was 13 or 14, something like that, at the office. It might have been 15, come to think of it. And that's exactly what I did and told them. Well, there was some broken hearts, of course, but I finally got Doss, and I asked Dawson if he was in Mexico City interviewing Wycliffe missionaries. And I asked him if he was seated, and he said no. And I said, I think you better sit down. And he thought it was me. He thought something had happened to me. And I said, Chucky was taken on Monday after you left on Friday, and the verdict is that there's nothing. He'll never, ever be any different than he is now. Well, Doss didn't say one word. So I said, sweetheart, remember Psalms 115:3, that thy God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased, to comfort him. Well, in a letter, right away, Dawson said, I was asking the Lord to give me a verse or a portion of scripture that would comfort your heart, and he gave me Psalms 115:3, and I was just to say it when you said it. So it's that mutual faith, both of you and me. And God, he taught me so many things. And he taught me that the fruit of the Spirit, he taught me just exactly what the fruit of the Spirit was in caring for an invalid child, who was beautiful, by the way, who grew in length. And he died 2.5 years after Dawson died. And we placed him in a state hospital. And Joan Scott, who was Joan Hatch then, and Helen, Helen's middle name. Her maiden name. Helen Crawford, Johnny Crawford's wife, were my helpers. In fact, we worked together, huh, Jean? You know. Boy, I'm the one that learned the most, having girls working with them. And Dawson and I were taking him. And Dawson asked to see me when we got home. You have to go the first day to court and the last day. And then the 6 weeks in between, they come and investigate your whole home, your children, you and your husband, and the whole thing. And they felt he'd be far better off where he was. But Dawson said, but my wife isn't. It's a huge care. Jean's husband, Bob, lived with us during this time, and Jeannie lived with us. Bob took care of him so that I could be gone for a few days. And this is dead weight, and he bathed him and lovingly took care of him. And Jeannie was... Jeannie, to me, had the... I did not know for many years later that Jeannie had a temper. And Jeannie's the one who told me this. And I personally have never seen it. She worked very closely. We worked very closely in Margie Wilbraham, who was Margie Dickinson then. She was with us then. And my children just absolutely adore Jean. And I absolutely adore her. God sends you different kinds of girls to work for you. I was in Europe in 50 when Dawson invited Margie to come and live in our home. Girls, how would you feel if you got a wire, or a cable rather, and said, I've invited a girl from Minneapolis to come and live with us. Her name's Margie Dickinson, and you'll love her. She was a former school teacher. I'm in Europe. of course, we'd had many girls live with us. And so when I got home, and Dawson just told me to get to know her. And so one day she came, and she really wasn't happy. So I said, well, I think you should take time off. When somebody tells you something about a child in your home, if it isn't life and death, or something about your wife or something about your husband or about some girl or fellow living in your home, you yourself observe them. If you haven't already, find out on your own if it's true or not. And that's what Dawson put on me. And my mother was dying, and I could spend much time with her because of Dawson and because of Margie and because of Jean. And Dawson came to get me one evening, and I had talked on the phone to one of the girls, one of my helpers, and I helped run the home and the family by phone. And I said, you know, Doss, it makes such a difference who answers the phone when I call home. And he says, tell me about it. So I did. And Dawson said to me, what did they say to you when you shared it with them, with these two girls? Jean's one of them. Margie's one of them. He knew I hadn't shared it with them. And he had a 24-hour deal in our home that we couldn't let anything ride. If I talked to you about her, I had to go tell the leader. And then when I went to tell him, I had to take you with me. Do you think for one minute that it didn't stop the gossip in our home? It did, so you could hear it. And this right here needed it. Doss and I lived in a motor court, they called it then. We called them motels now, but this was just a little place, and we both couldn't get in the kitchen, and it wasn't because I was as large as I am now. But it was just a little hole like this and two little burners. And then about 4 miles away or five, we had a little service station, and the sailors would bring a fella or two or three or five, and we had taken the garage of that little service station and fumigated it, painted and everything, and had a table in there and chairs and a carpet and so forth, and that's where the men met. And I would cook on this two burner and drive down and serve the men and wait till they were finished, then take the dirty dishes back to the court and wash them. And we did that for a long while until the men asked us if we'd be willing to move to Point Firmin. So in due time, we moved to our first home, and it was upstairs, and it was an apartment. In your home, you have, we had a Marine who knew more about cooking than I would have if I had spent a lifetime just on cooking. And Dawson always sent him to the kitchen when he came. And so that was for me. This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. Dawson changed temperance to balance in my life. Balance. Just have balance. I'll tell you why. When Ruthie was old enough so she could ask to go on a hayride, I always said no. I said, no, darling. See, I was alone with the children a lot, and if they turned out bad, I would just say, I'm the one that... Dawson traveled a lot. And so one day Dawson says, sweetheart, why don't you try saying yes? Because he heard the conversation. So I just started saying yes. So I just said yes. So one day Dawson came and he says, why don't you try saying no sometimes? And the first thing I thought of, a double-minded man is unstable and always like, which I had to tell him, of course, because as a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. So you better say it. So I did. And he said, well, no, I'm trying to teach you balance. And I think the hardest job that God gives us as parents is raising our families, our children. I really do. It's a tremendous challenge to us. Wait till you have grandchildren, and then wait till I have three great-granddaughters. And it's been fun to watch. We have nine blood grandchildren, and five of them are married. The 27th of June, Brett is George and Ruth's second son, and they were married here. Lauren Sandy's daughter and Brett. And the boy, I tell you, that was a wedding and a half. And that united four different families. Because we have the Crafts, and we have the Wortleys, and we have the Trotmans and the Sandys. And I guess more on Sandy's side, too, because they're married. You know, all their children are married now. But that was a heavenly day. So that gave me 14 grandchildren. And she was the flower girl in Brett's mother and father's wedding 30 years ago last December, the girl he married. Little knowing then that I'd be calling her my granddaughter. And I love it. And I entered several in praying that this would come about. She was in love with him, but he wasn't in love with her. So I've had a great joy of entering my children's lives without them knowing it. And you do it the hard way, and that's through prayer. I find prayer hard, especially prolonged prayer. Protracted times, I mean. And my habit is going up on Ute Pass and spending a day with the Lord. And it's my habit also maybe six times a week to get in my car and drive 10 miles. And spend time alone with God. And I do that for our work. When I used to think that when Doss was here, it was heavy, and it was. Well, it's many times heavier. Many dozens of times heavier now. It's a difficult thing in 45 minutes to tell you about the navigators. And I'm getting stuff from all around the world, often, on what somebody said the navigators were. I have a file on it. And Dawson was in South America with Mr. Missions, and that's Clyde Taylor. And Clyde said, tell me, give me a definition of what the navigators are. And Dawson talked for 2 hours. And he says, oh, that's all right. He said, that's all right, Dawson, I'll ask Lorne. I've never heard the full definition of the navigators. It's hard to explain. But I'm a navigator, and I know what a navigator is, or what she is supposed to be. And I'd really like a whole afternoon just to tell you what I've gone through as far as corrections, sins concerned, and disappointments that I have caused, and gave you the solution, I'm not standing up as an example at all. Not at all. But I have learned, and I learned it after Dawson's death, that I'm to love you just like you are, warts and all. And so are you supposed to love me just like I am, warts and all. And I can pray and you can pray, because we see weaknesses in each other, surely. But girls, just don't be concerned about people's hair, the short dress, the long dress. You know, two things can rob you and I of living solidly for Jesus Christ, happily and contentedly. That is things. We're bothered about things. Did you? And the other is excuses. We can excuse ourselves because everyone's ways are right in their own eyes. But are they right in God's, Lila? Or is Christianity like a cloak that you and I conveniently slip on and off when said persons walk into our lives or we walk into theirs? And you have seen it on television, if you've been watching it all, since this all broke. And they have worked overtime to get Billy Graham to make a statement. Bless his heart. He hasn't said a word yet. And criticism, and he never will. So the newsman ought to just leave him alone, because he won't do it. I was on the team, I know. And Billy is, and he cries out on his knees with his team. And you'd think that he's just the worst rascal that ever lived, but he means it. And he never, ever will go in his pulpit at a crusade if there's anything wrong with the team, in the team. Never. He'd call it off. He'd call the night off. So he sees the team together, and since it's a team deal, we are talked to together, and confessions made right there. I learned a lot on the team, and it's hard work. Extremely hard. I was in the New York crusade, the first one. It was 3 weeks and it was 3 months. It was 3 weeks to be, and we were there. It was 3 months. And when my children met me at the airport when I flew back home, they thought I'd been on an all-night brawl because I looked so bad. But I was thinner. My eyes were sunken. But boy, what I learned. I learned a lot about myself and what I can't do and what I needed to learn in meeting people's needs and to handle a telephone ministry properly when you're cursed out. My cat died. It was burned up. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Billy Graham because I want to see my cat when I die. You don't have to see Billy to talk to him about seeing your cat, because you're not going to see your cat. Your cat doesn't have a soul. And where are you going to spend eternity, by the way? Well, one or two places. Well, one of two places, darling, just be sure that it's the glory side, and then you get the cursing. Because she don't want to hear you. She wants to talk about her cat, you know, and wants to talk to Billy Graham. And Billy made me as an ambassador, and I said, oh, mercy, you're ambassador. But it was a great privilege, and I felt that I would just tell you a little bit about Dawson's Homegoing, but maybe next year, okay? And I'd like to give all of you Psalms 34 and Isaiah 11 and 12 in a very good translation, okay? And God bless you richly.